All right, the next case is In Re Interest of Austin M. And I believe both of our counsel for both sides are appearing remotely by WebEx at this time. And so we are ready to proceed. And Mr. is it Timon?
Yes, Mr. Timon. Yes.
All right, Mr. Timon, you may proceed with your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, Mr. Harris. My name is Lee Timon. I'm the attorney for Jaleesa May, who is the appellant and the mother of the juvenile children in connection with this case. This is a direct appeal from the Gage County Juvenile Court. In this case, in January of this year, the juvenile court entered an order terminating the parental rights of Ms. Jaleesa May after a trial was held in January. The appeal in this case is basically that Ms. May is challenging that the court did not have a sufficient record to find that it would be in the best interest of the children to terminate her parental rights. We do understand that there's a two-part analysis. First, whether there's statutory grounds that exist for a termination to happen, and secondly, whether the court finds that the evidence as submitted overall would be show that it would be in the best interest. We're not challenging whether or not there's statutory grounds. There were a number of issues that were raised by the state, and one of those being that the children were removed for at least 15 of the last 22 months. That's undisputed, and I don't believe the court needs to go into whether all of the grounds were proven as long as there's one. So our primary focus is whether or not the court had enough evidence from the state to show that it was in the best interest of the children for termination to exist or to occur. The testimony that was presented by the state in this case was limited basically to the two caseworkers that had worked on this case. One was Carmen Lee, who had worked primarily with the family during most of the case up until a few months before our trial, and the other caseworker was Stephanie Birkebile, who basically was covering during a leave of absence on Ms. Lee's part. So she basically worked with the family for the last 3 months up until our termination trial. Their testimony walked through the complications that Ms. May had had in the year and a half, 2 years that the children had been removed from the home, about her complications with her drug addiction and maintaining employment. And primarily the issue that we're challenging is that I guess we're looking at this as whether or not the court should terminate because a parent hasn't completed the checklist of classes or programs that needed to be done, or whether we should terminate only upon a finding that the parent is truly unfit. It's our position, appellant's position in this case, that the state established that there were still some things on the checklist that had not yet been completed by Ms. May, but that those were not shown as a direct causal link between to show that she was an unfit parent. In this case, or in prior case law, both which I've cited in my brief, In Re Justin H, a 2010 case, court had previously found that a termination of parental rights is a final and complete severance, and that termination should only be in the absence of any reasonable alternative.
Mr. Timon?
Yes, sir.
So it's not unusual for the courts to see parents try at the last minute to make some corrections as a termination hearing is coming closer. Mm-hmm. In this case, it would appear the record indicates that your client, the mother, had been clean from about the summer of 2020. Is that right?
Yes, I think generally the time frame was about June of 2020 up until our trial in January. There was no further evidence or facts to show that she was using substances any further.
Because she was complying with the drug testing and her testing was coming up negative. And this is, of course, after a couple inpatient treatments that she successfully completed, but then had some problems subsequently, at least after the first one, as I recall.
Yes, I think the evidence showed that that certainly during the 12 to 18 months leading up into June of 2020, she certainly had gone up and down with her battles But our position was that over that 7-8 month period between June of 2020 and January of 2021, she was showing stability. She was complying with visitation. She was maintaining employment. She had obtained an apartment without financial support from the government or family members. And that, in our opinion, that it appeared to be a case where visitation should be increased and we should be going down the road towards reunification. And the biggest issue, I'm sorry.
Why didn't that happen? Why was visitation not increased given all the signs that were pretty positive at that point in time?
Your Honor, if you look at, and I realize you may not have the transcript in front of you from our trial, but the testimony at the trial actually established from the current caseworker, Ms. Birkebile. She testified that Ms. May had asked to increase visits and that the department had not made any attempts to increase those. And it appeared from my questioning of her that it was because they were waiting to see what would happen at trial. And I raised that prospect at the trial saying, okay, if the court were to dismiss the termination or deny the termination, would the department be in a position to increase her visits? And she said she would probably need to talk to her supervisor about that, but she didn't say no. In our opinion, it looked like Ms. May was kind of caught between the department not wanting to make efforts to increase her visitation because they didn't know how the termination trial would work out. But then they wanted to turn around and say that their reason for supporting termination was because she hadn't increased her visits over the 6 to 7 months prior to the termination trial. So in our opinion, it very much looked like DHHS was either dragging their feet or holding her back by not allowing the visits to be increased, even though there was ample evidence to show that it should have been.
Should it be concerning though, that, you know, there'd been quite a lot of time that had already passed? I get that she requested more visitation. I believe her testimony may have been something like she felt that 10 hours per week would have been appropriate. I mean, at that pace, and that was still supervised, is it not problematic as to how long do we keep children waiting for a parent to recover? And that's not to take away from the very commendable progress that this mother had made.
Well, and I think the issue then is, was the 6 or 7 months during that time? She had an apartment, she had a job, she was making her visits, and she was showing that she was sober. And there was no issues being, the visitation worker herself was a witness in this case, and she testified that during the 2 months prior to trial, there had been zero issues. So it's confusing to my client as to why DHHS was unwilling to increase the visitation during that time. And it appears that the only reason given is because they wanted to wait and see what would happen with the trial. So in our opinion, DHHS was not really doing much between October, when Ms. Lee took her leave of absence, and January, because they basically were stonewalling just to see what the result of the trial would be. Whereas Ms. May was continuing to work on the things that she was working on, but not getting any benefit from DHHS in increased visitation, so that she could progress towards having unsupervised visitation, overnights, and eventually reunification. So it's our position that was preventing her from doing it, not that she was failing. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Judge Arterburn, I'm not sure if his mic is working. He's been trying to get here.
Sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. Can you hear me, Mr. Timon?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. But I think the question is not that there wasn't some progress being made, but the pace of the progress. I mean, and there were still some other concerning factors, such as living with another person that had significant issues himself in the past with substance abuse, criminal behavior, and I believe loss of his own parental rights. And so when we're looking at the entire pace of the recovery, is there a point where the interests of the children just outweigh it if that pace is not significantly faster than what we see in this case?
I think in theory, yes. Obviously, the court cannot make children wait forever. I know there's case law that talks about that, but I think that it has to be a case-by-case analysis. And I guess one of the issues is there was no testimony presented from anyone connected to the children on the side of the state other than the caseworkers. There was no testimony from the foster care workers. There was no testimony from the visitation workers or teachers or other family members. The only family members that testified were on behalf of Ms. May, saying that they did believe that there was still a strong bond and that Ms. May had overcome great struggles and was now on the path towards a good recovery, and that they felt that there was a strong parental bond that should continue to stay in place. So I guess it comes down to whether the state's evidence actually showed that the time that had passed was detrimental to the children, as opposed to just saying, in theory, too much time had passed. I don't know that there was any evidence showing that in this specific case, the time that passed actually harmed the children up until when things started to get better.
Mr. Timon, during this June to January time when she remained sober, was she also on probation?
She was on probation for, she had been on probation for quite some time. And then I don't remember the specifics. I think we had a one of our exhibits, number 14, was a letter from her probation officer. At some point, her probation officer was saying that she was doing well, but the court did ultimately revoke her probation in that case just because of the length of time, and there wasn't an ability to extend it. But she was on probation. I believe it was sometime around the summer is when that probation was revoked.
All right, I believe your time is up. Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Timon.
Thank you.
And Mr. Harris, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Mr. Timon. My name is Roger Harris. I'm the Gage County attorney, and I represent the state of Nebraska in this juvenile matter. The juvenile petition was filed in November of 2018. The major issues, as Mr. Timon noted, was the meth addiction of the mother. There was also some issues regarding domestic violence of the boyfriend that was living in the home with her children. Pursuant to a global plea agreement involving a criminal case, the mother did admit the allegations on November 19th of 2018. And the Gage County Juvenile Division Court did enter a disposition order on December 21st of 2018. That particular order had numerous items that the mother was to work on in order to do a or to enable the children to be reunified with her. And one of the major items was the substance abuse treatment program, which the court has already talked about. She did have difficulty with that. And you know, we'd have, you know, the proverbial one step forward, two steps back.
Mr. Harris?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to ask, is it a reasonable expectation that when someone has a meth addiction, that the recovery is going to be quick? Right. I mean, it's not unusual to see that there's has to be multiple efforts to try to get somebody clean. And I'm frankly surprised. It's rare that you see when someone actually does break through, as at least in this instance, from the record we have, this mother appeared to be clean for a good half a year, and yet the state would not allow her to have increased parenting time. Can you explain both what the expectation is of the state in such circumstances of this type of addiction, and that whether there should be some flexibility in the time frame when this kind of progress has been demonstrated?
I'll attempt to. First of all, you know, there are several false starts where she'd get into a program and then either for whatever reason would get thrown out of the program or would leave the program. On those successful treatment programs, and there was two of them noted, I believe, in the record, she didn't do the follow-up program, which, as we all know, they're associated with any type of drug treatment, is absolutely critical. Now, as far as the timing on this, again, I think it's very important that you establish consistency so that the department who has custody of the children needs to be assured that there's some security. Keep in mind, we had drug usage, we had a criminal case involved in this matter, as well as another person with some domestic violence in the home. So all that enters into this concern, if you will, for the ultimate concern here, and that is the safety of the children. As far as the when she alleges that she was clean, again, all of a sudden we lose the probation check, if you will, that was there to provide assistance for her, supervision, and help her deal with her methamphetamine addiction. So I think all those factors come into play as far as the court being concerned, excuse me, the department and the guardian ad litem. And I think if you look at the guardian ad litem reports also, you'll note some very large concerns there, as well as the foster care review board reports, as well as the CASA reports. So again, it wasn't just one person saying, I don't like this, I'm gonna, I want more. And I would note too, that at the hearings themselves, everything was re-emphasized to, you know, if there was a good report that was, you know, applauded on behalf of the parties there. If there wasn't a good report, there was a reminder that, hey, we're starting to run out of time. And that wasn't until later on. I'm sorry.
November of 2020, this mother was allowed to have her children in her apartment, and the notes in the record indicate that things went well. I mean, they'd had some out in the community parenting time, and they had some in the apartment. And at least by the end of the year of 2020, things were going well and everything points in a very favorable direction. With the mother asking for more time, why is it appropriate for the state to deny that simply because this termination hearing is pending? Why would you not want to see whether she could handle the additional time? Wouldn't that have been helpful evidence in this case?
Well, two things there, Your Honor. Number one is that was after the termination for parental rights was filed. Number two, there's also some concerns at that time with, you know, her choices as far as, you know, seeing other people, allowing them to have access to these children. And again, I think there's record or information in the records as far as her follow-ups is, you know, Ms. Carmen Lee, the caseworker, was trying to get her in to get the evaluation, the parent evaluation, so they could see if there were some other things that needed to be focused upon. I'm trying to think of some of the other items as far as her.
Was this mother ever given an option of not having the former boyfriend around in order to increase her visitation time?
You know, I know there was discussions on that between all the parties. And again, it's a matter of whether or not that was done. And again, that's something the state would submit, is that her priority wasn't necessarily the children as if number one priority in her life. We're not alleging that she didn't show some progress right before the TPR trial in January of 2021. We're just saying we didn't have that progress when the case first started and got going.
Well, it's not right before. I mean, it was from about June of the summer before. So it's a good half year. This is considerably more than we often see where there's a lot, you know, progress the month before. I'm just puzzled why the state would not have wanted to give this mother a little bit more time under these circumstances where that kind of progress was demonstrated over an extended period of time.
Okay, as the court will note, the record does indicate the father did relinquish his rights to these children. During the same time, there was discussions as far as with the mother, and quite frankly, that took a lot of time as far as setting up the final trial. And I realize it's more than we would usually see, but again, the argument's the same. These children had been in foster care by the time we got to the termination trial, for 2 years. So to say you didn't have enough time, the Supreme Court itself has said in interpreting the statute, 15 months is a reasonable period of time. So we certainly allowed more than that. That answer your question?
It does. I mean, I'm still a little troubled by the idea, you know, I understand we have these timeframes, but I also want to try to be mindful that there are people who have these kinds of addiction problems where recovery takes more time. And when we're talking about terminating parental rights, I'm, you know, looking at it from the standpoint of that maybe A little extra time is not a bad thing, especially when a person who has gone through this kind of treatment and finally at a point of success, at least from what we can tell in our record, why would you rip that, you know, her children away from her given that progress? And so it's, these are difficult cases. And I think just saying, well, it's been this many months that they've been out of the home doesn't seem to be enough when we're terminating parental rights and there's a half a year of progress by a parent.
And I would just note, Your Honor, Ms. Birkebile, when she was talking about the little bit of progress that had been made, she was talking about December of 2020. And again, it's real easy to say I'm being sober. And when you don't have the check of probation doing drug testing, we did lose that opportunity there. So I would just note that.
I have a couple of questions. Did the mother ever complete a treatment program after her last relapse? I know she completed a treatment program and had a relapse. Did she ever go back to treatment thereafter, or was her sobriety program strictly limited to NA or AA type of assistance?
Your Honor, to the best of my knowledge, she did not take or go back to a treatment program after her admitted last relapse.
And did she ever get I know there was a recommendation at some point that she undergo mental health therapy. Did that ever happen?
No, she did not do a mental health evaluation as required by each one of the case plans.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I see my time's up. If there's any other questions, I would answer them if the court would want me to.
Questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Harris. No, there are no other questions. Counsel, thank you both for your argument. And the case will be considered submitted to the court for decision. You are excused. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.